Let the life of your river flow. Let the truth of your kingdom, let it rain in us. Let the weight of your glory fall. Let the weight of your glory cover us. Let the life of your river flow. Let the truth of your kingdom reign in us. Let the weight of your glory flow. Let the weight of your glory flow. Let the weight of your glory flow. Father, we desire to see the reality of your glory in our lives, in our families, in this city, and across the body of Christ within this region. This meeting was so named intentionally as an attempt to reveal the levels and the dimensions of your glory that will be required even at such a time as this. We pray this morning that there is the hearing of faith and even the workings of miracles. Manifest your glory in the midst of your people. Grant us understanding, grant us illumination, and let Jesus be glorified. Amen and amen. Blessings again. Please be seated. Hallelujah. Conferences like this are moments of learning. Our hearts must be inclined to knowledge. This is a kingdom that thrives on revelation. This is a kingdom that thrives on knowledge. There are no assumptions in this kingdom. If we must excel in light, it takes illumination. Listen, the greatest need of man, according to Scripture, is light. Because the first solution we see manifest in the Bible was light. The first problem we see recorded in the Bible was darkness and chaos. And the first official solution was light. That means that when you really want to help a people and you really want to help an individual, it is the entrance of light that begins to make room. It was in the presence of that light that other aspects of creation began to happen. There is no life until there is light. Praise the name of the Lord. So this is very important. I love to teach the word of God, and I love to teach it methodically. That means that at the end of that discourse, you should be able to understand what was explained, and you should be able to have a point of action. There is no point babbling in a way and a manner that leaves you pointless at the end of the discussion. There must be something to hold on to that now opens you up to more superior dimensions of the kingdom. Hallelujah. The assignment of a minister of the gospel, especially at conferences like this, is found in Acts chapter, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 9. It says that you obtain the grace that can cause all men to see. The grace that causes men to see. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 9. There is a grace that can make all men see. Learned, unlearned, young, old. It is a grace that makes men see. Hallelujah. The assignment of the communication of faith is to help you see what God is saying. Because there is no fear and there is no doubt when you can see it. Hallelujah. You can't say I'm wearing a suit because you are seeing. But if you are just listening to me, I can easily deceive you even though you are hearing. Hallelujah. Habakkuk said, I will stand upon my watch and I will set myself upon the tower. that I will see what the Lord will say. This is very, very important. So we must pay attention. The Bible lets us know that Satan is interested in the ministry of the word also. That when the word is taught and it falls upon those soils that the Bible calls the heart of men, it's not a demon that comes to pick the seeds. It is Satan. Satan is interested in seeds because he knows that he can kill any harvest by stopping the seed from growing. Hallelujah. So more than the whole, more than your coming, more than the excitement, more than even the individuals invited, you must pay attention to Jesus, pay attention to his word. Chapter 10 of the same scripture, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10 says, to the intent. That means we pay attention to all of these things that unto principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church, the manifold, multifaceted wisdom of God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. So we'll be teaching along the lines of glory, and I trust that God will help us. At the end of this conference, it would be called a profitable conference, only to the degree to which you can hold on to a kingdom truth that can elevate you and literally bring you to a point where you will make reference to this day and this moment. I'm praying, it's been my desire for the body of Christ that conferences will end up with encounters and experiences that literally move our lives. That you can mention a date and say, on this day and at this moment, I found this truth. You see, in scripture, you hear that there was a certain day. That means it was not a parable. It actually happened. Praise the Lord. So let's discuss the subject of God's glory. It's a subject that I have studied for years, and I'm honored every time I have the opportunity to teach a bit about it. But more particularly, I think we'll start this morning. It's really a discussion that will proceed into the night and then tomorrow. But let me start tonight by teaching spiritual patterns, or this afternoon. Still an aspect of the glory, but we're going to be teaching spiritual patterns. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Bible is full of instances where the manifested presence of God, the glory of God, found expression in the midst of his people. You see that with Israel, you see that in the dedication of the temple, you see that in the life of Jesus himself. So God has always desired to meet with men and reveal himself to men, even though he's a mysterious and all-powerful God. The Bible does not hide his desire to reach down to men. Hallelujah. Once and again, we see that even in the depravity of the hearts of men, God will make efforts through prophets. He will make efforts through encounters to see that he reaches down to men. But not only that, men are aware that he is there. He seeks to reveal himself. As complicated as he may seem, it has always been his desire that men would know him as personal as possible. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Hence the whole subject of God's glory. The word glory came from an ancient expression. I believe that your pastor would have done justice teaching you that. It had nothing necessarily to do with spiritual experiences like the cloud of his presence and all of these expressions that come with the glory of God. The root expression for glory, the Latin word is gloria, the Hebrew is kabod, and the Greek is doxa. All of them attempt to describe the weightiness. The real expression is that which has weight. That is the expression glory. Kabod means the essence of a thing. That means it's an attempt to describe the value of a thing by expressing its attributes. Are we together now? So the glory of a thing, the glory of anything, is the factors that make that thing valuable. The glory of my phone is in knowing all the features that make the phone expensive. Are we together now? Yes. So when we talk about the glory of a man, the glory of a place, the glory of anything, we cannot know that the goal of discussing the glory of a thing is that at the end of that discussion, your sense of reverence, your sense of respect, and your sense of regard for that person or that thing comes back in place. Are we together now? Yes. The revelation of the glory is a system that keeps reverence. It's a system that keeps value. So it was an ancient strategy that was used to both express the wealth of kings and then to measure the treasury of a nation. The weightier, they use coins, they use gold, they use silver. And so they had ways of measuring it. And the glory of that kingdom was measured in the weightiness. You see it sometimes in movies where every kingdom has a treasury. And oftentimes when kings want to flaunt their glory, what they would do is they would invite neighboring kings. Is that true? And begin to walk them through the length and the breadth of that kingdom. And then they sometimes would take them to the treasury and show them that this was the spoils of war. This was so all of that is an attempt to show their military might, an attempt to show their intelligence, an attempt to show this and that. And sometimes they would sit down at dinner with the king, and then they would invite all kinds of people, whether wise men, whether diviners, and they would perform all kinds of magic. You see this in movies, isn't it? Ancient movies especially. So they perform all of this magic in the presence of the king and his guests. And by so doing, will entertain them. Glory. The glory of God, therefore, is a revelation of all the attributes that make God, God. Everything that makes God, God. In the simplest of expressions, everything at all is like a spiritual anatomy, if you will use that expression. Opening God to see the attributes that make him so majestic. That means that in dealing with the subject of glory, it is an eternal discourse, because we will never be able to exhaust all the things that make God God. Moses, for instance, will be getting there shortly. When he said, "Show me your glory," God said, No. If you mean all of me, you do not have the power to be able to stand it. However, I will choose an aspect of my glory called my goodness, and I will let you see it. The entire 5 books of Moses was written because one dimension of God's glory was revealed to a man. Look, all the revelations that were from Genesis, Exodus, down to Deuteronomy, all because the goodness of God was revealed. But there are other aspects of his glory. His wisdom is an aspect of his glory. His wealth, his riches is an aspect of his glory. His power, his ability to deliver. Everything at all that makes God God is an expression of his glory. Are we together now? Praise the name of the Lord. Many times when you buy products, especially if they are expensive, they wrap them in a way that is not easy to open, and is done intentionally. It's a psychological attempt to make you appreciate the value of what is there. You hardly open an expensive thing easily. Usually there will be layers and layers, and then you may find maybe a manual or so that now begins to meticulously explain the attributes. And some manuals are as big as a pamphlet or even a little book. Is that true? All in an attempt to tell you what is in this. At the end of it, it will now justify the amount you spent. It will justify the labor that was invested in having that phone or whatever it is. Praise the name of the Lord. Believers are called to be partakers of God's glory. The Bible calls it his divine nature. It says, according as his divine power hath given us all things that pertains unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us into glory. So we have been called into glory. We have been called into glory. Hallelujah. When Jesus came as the pattern man, he also came as the brightness of the glory of God. Hebrews chapter 1, from verse 1, it says, God, who in sundry times and diverse manners spake to us in time past through the prophets, he says, had in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he had appointed to be heir of all things, by whom he made the worlds. Verse 3, it says, who being the brightness of his glory. So Jesus is the brightness of God's glory. And remember, we were created in the image of God. The image of God is not a shadow. The image of God is Jesus. So every believer was created in Christ, and then through the new birth, now recreated in Christ. That means that it is our destiny to be both partakers of his glory and revealers of the same. Please follow carefully. Are we still together? It is our destiny, our corporate destiny as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that first we be partakers of the glory of God. What does that mean? That means there is a sharing together. It's called koinonia. Everything that makes God glorious is ours for the taking. There are only three dimensions of God's glory, or three expressions of God's glory, that man is not allowed to partake of. Can I list it for you very quickly? There are only three dimensions of God's glory that has been withheld from man. These are the attributes that makes God exclusive in his class. Let me list it for you very quickly. Number one is called his omnipresence. The omnipresence of God is a dimension of his glory he does not share with any man. There has never been a record in scripture of a manifestation of omnipresence by man. Even Jesus, when he became man, he had to give up omnipresence. Are we together now? This is doctrine. We are learning scripture now. So, omnipresence is an attribute of God's glory that man has not been given the privilege to partake of. Number two is called omnipotence. Omnipotence means the ability to have all power exclusively to yourself. Now, inasmuch as man was given dominion, please look up. Theologically, there are two dimensions to dominion. There is absolute dominion and there is shared dominion. What man was given is shared dominion, not absolute dominion. Shared dominion is the glory of the moon. You see, the moon has to depend on the sun for its illumination. But the sun does not depend on any other factor for its illumination. So God has absolute dominion in heaven, earth, and hell. You don't have to give your life to him for him to have dominion and control over you, because he is God. Are we together now? Yes. The Father of spirits, he can summon any spirit anytime, including Satan. I hope you know that the lake of fire is part of God's kingdom. The lake of fire was not designed by Satan. He will be judged there. So it's part of God's justice system. So man does not have authority over the lake of fire. No. You can't do anything with anybody there. Anyone in hell, you don't have the power to cast them, forgive them. So our dominion is limited. The jurisdiction of our dominion is only the earth. Are we together? We cannot command beings in heaven to just move around and do whatever we want them to do. No, no. It is not every spirit in heaven that we have dominion, or we have the ability to be able to beckon on their help. The Bible lists very particularly the beings in heaven that we are allowed to engage them as far as earth is concerned. Is that true? The Bible tells us that we can partner with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. Then the Bible tells us that the angelic realm is also asked for partnership. The Bible never mentions authority or partnership with the 24 elders. There are many other beings in heaven. I hope your silence means that you are receiving it. Praise the name of the Lord. This is a background for us to understand the whole idea of glory. So we're listing three limitations, that or three expressions of God's glory that God would never, 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 man would not partake of them. It is these three expressions of his glory that brand him as God. Number one, his omnipresence. What is his omnipresence? His ability to be everywhere at the same time. This is what makes time meaningless as far as his presence is concerned. Time was a factor that was created to help man experience God. But God does not dwell in the realm of time. God does not even dwell in the realm of eternity, because eternity is still a function of time. It's just time without limits. Eternity means the summation of infinite dispensations. It is still time dependent. The realm of God is called now. No past, no present. Those realities don't exist. Are we together? This is very, very powerful. Number two, is his omnipotence, his ability to be powerful, all powerful, all powerful. We only have authority in the name of Jesus Christ. God does not need to call the name of anybody for help. We always have to depend on a name higher than us for help. Nobody can manifest power in this kingdom in isolation to the name. But God does not have to say in the name of anybody for assistance. He is God. Every other creature must depend on someone else. Even the devil depends on the day that the Lord makes to carry out his activities. Satan does not make days. He will wait at the corridors of a night into a morning and allow God to make that day. Making of a day is exclusively the office of God. He said, "This is the day that the Lord has made." Are we together now? There are things only God can do. Satan does not have the power to create a day. As cheap as a day looks. Are we together? Yes. Another thing Satan does not have the power to do is to go back into yesterday. No. He does not have that power. But God is able to go back because it does not dwell in time. You have to understand this. Heaven is his throne. Heaven is his throne. Heaven is his throne. Not necessarily his habitation. The Bible says, in the beginning, Genesis 1 verse 1, God created. If I create a computer, I can't be in the computer. Do you agree with me? I have to be outside of that thing to be able to create it. So God was not in heaven and God was not in the earth. He must be outside the system to be able to create it. The founder of your phone cannot be in the phone. He may create the phone for his use, but he can't be confined by that phone. So when the psalmist said heaven is his throne and the earth his footstool, he's right. It doesn't mean that heaven is the only location where you will find God. No. No. He's omnipresent. He's omnipotent. Are we still together? And then he's omniscient, all knowing. He's omniscient. These three attributes. Omniscient. We're discussing glory. Are we still together? Omniscience is the faculty of comprehension without forgetfulness. There is no possibility of omission when you are omniscient. When it seems as if God forgets, when the Bible talks about God forgetting, you have to understand the word that was translated forget. The word translated forget has the same expression with authorize. It does not mean loss of memory. It has to do with being allowed or disallowed to do certain things. God cannot forget. It's not a possibility that is within his. He cannot have that ability. He does not forget. We can forget. I may tell you, please see me after service, I'll do something, and absolutely forget. You know, sometimes I can be talking with people and they say, did you see the gentleman who wore a blue shoe? And you are talking to the wrong person. I can't even remember anything. Apostle, you prophesied to me yesterday. I said, me? I can't remember your face. I don't even remember what I told you, because we are limited. This is why the Bible says when it has to do with the issue of memory, intelligence, and understanding, there is a spirit in man. It is that inspiration of the Almighty that can help men to comprehend at a level that is not ordinary for humans. Understanding is a miracle. Jesus himself had to perform that miracle. The Bible says, then open he their understanding that they might understand scripture. Are we still together? Praise the name of the Lord. And so we're dealing here with the attributes that make God, God. Now, please look up. Aside from these three attributes, there is no other attribute of God's glory that he withheld from man. Amazing. You see how benevolent this God is. Ladies and gentlemen, it is like becoming a very wealthy person and then you just keep maybe your bedroom alone and you say every other thing. You now see the adumbration of this with what happened between Pharaoh and Joseph in the Bible. Remember that Pharaoh said, there is something, I am Pharaoh, but in terms of legislature and authority, you will be the face that people will see. However, it is only in the throne that I'll be greater than you. It was an adumbration. An adumbration means a foreshadowing. You see, the Bible works with types and shadows. That means everything that was acted in the Old Testament were different expressions and manifestations of Jesus and how he would operate. Types and shadows. We call them similitudes. Are we together? So let's do a quick recap. Three expressions of God's glory that no man can partake of. We can only benefit from them, but we cannot have them exclusive to ourselves. When you hear that Satan wanted to be like God, this was what he was looking for. Because there are aspects of God's glory that even angels have. They excel in light. They are made in the likeness of God, right? The image of God. Satan wanted it. Satan was not looking for wisdom. He had wisdom. Remember, his assignment before his fall was he was the light bearer, because revelation is stored in the realm of the spirit as light. Remember, the entrance of your light gives what? Understanding. It is when light gets to your mind that it breaks down into information that you can understand. But spiritual revelation is stored in the spirit as light. That's why God, who is the fountain of all wisdom, is surrounded by unapproachable light. Mean, are we still together? Let's pray in the spirit in 1 minute. Let's obtain grace again. Mighty God of heaven, the giver of all wisdom, the giver of all grace. Open our minds, open our hearts to see, open our hearts to understand, open our hearts to comprehend. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, the glory of anything is an expression of the features that make that thing weighty, valuable, or desirable. Spiritual patterns. Now, Leviticus chapter 9, please, and verse 6. The nation of Israel is a case study that reveals how the glory of God manifests in the lives of believers. I just want to share for this morning's session on spiritual patterns. Please read with me if you can see projected revelations. Leviticus chapter 9 and verse 6. Let's read together. One, two, read. And Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commanded that ye should do, and the glory of the Lord shall appear unto you. One more time, just verse 6 alone. And Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commanded that ye should do, and the glory of the Lord shall appear unto you. So, there are prerequisites and there are requirements as far as the revelation and the manifestation of the glory of God is concerned. But for us to appreciate what I'm about to talk about, the expression of God's glory, we have to understand spiritual patterns. Now, the way God designed this kingdom to operate, please let me have your attention now. The way God designed this kingdom to operate is such that he never does the same thing twice. Every time God is revealing a level of his glory or introducing a process to the earth realm. What happens is that he introduces that process and then captured in that process, excuse me please, captured in that very process is a spiritual pattern that makes for the continuity of that process. Are we together? The first tree in the Garden of Eden, he planted it by himself. I hope you know that God himself came and planted the tree in the Eden. But when he planted it, he put something in that tree so that he would never have to plant it again. If you want more trees, you don't need to ask trees to come from heaven again. There is a pattern already interwoven in those trees. We call them seeds. You pick the seeds, but the seeds on their own will not produce trees. You have to plant them to the earth. The moment you do that, your own assignment is done. Are we together? Programmed in that system is continuity. When it had to do with mankind and animals, what happened was that God formed the first man, Adam, from the earth, Adama. The earth, Adama, produced that man, Adam. Are we together? Adam means dark earth. Now, when he produced that man, he pulled out of him the woman. Is that true? And then the woman came out already with a programming to be able to carry seed and turn that seed into a full-grown baby. Are we together now? And with the man also, a seed has been given, so that when you want more people on earth, all you have to do, please pay attention, all you have to do is engage the spiritual pattern connected to procreation. Is that true? Yes. That even an armed robber, if he engages that process, there will be procreation and there will be reproduction. That is the reason why if you are tired of having children, you don't need to pray and say, God, I'm tired. All you need to do is discontinue the pattern that leads to that manifestation of the glory, and the pattern will respect you. Are we together now? When you are hungry, you don't call on God, because hunger is not a sickness, it's not a disease. Is that true? Yes. When you want to go to toilet, permit me to use that expression, you don't say, God, help me, I don't know what is wrong with me. It was a system. And so when you give birth to children, part of the ways you help children grow is to introduce them to these patterns. They look very casual patterns. If I want to eat mango, all I need to do is to look for a mango seed. I don't call on heaven to bring mangoes. No. I look for a mango seed, not an orange seed, because the pattern is that everything gives birth after its kind. Are we together now? So when I get a mango seed from anywhere, if I bring that mango seed to Mina and I plant it and I'm patient for a few months, what happens? I can get that seed because it honors that pattern. While this is happening, someone else in London is planting the same one. The pattern said the seed must touch the earth. You don't plant it in the sky and it grows. That is not the pattern. The moment it touches the earth, whether the earth in Mina or the earth in London, that means if I want mango, I don't have to come to Mina. I just need to simulate the atmosphere that makes it. The mango does not know it is growing in Mina. The mango does not know it is growing in London. The moment the patterns are satisfied, the mango believes it is growing the way it was originally designed to grow. Please follow what I'm telling you. If I want to reproduce this building now, what do I need to do? Do I ask all of you to hold this building and we move it to where I'm coming from? No. All I need is to get the architecture. I get someone to give me the planning. And I may never even look at this building physically. And yet I carry this plan and take it to Lagos, and you will enter the building in Lagos and even confuse whether if someone falls asleep in Mina and you fly that person and keep the person there, he will wake up in the morning thinking he's still in Mina. That is the power of patterns. Patterns bring predictability to the believer's experience. Please follow carefully. A very important information: patterns are forerunners of God's glory. Patterns, divine spiritual patterns, forerun the glory of God. That means everywhere you see the manifestation of God's glory, they are attestations that his patterns have been kept. Every time you see a woman pregnant, you are not confused how she got pregnant. There was a pattern. You know that this woman has met with her husband and she's pregnant. Every time a woman gives birth, you don't wonder how did this child come out, whether it's cesarean section or normal delivery. You cannot sit down and think the child just jumped out of nowhere. There is a pattern. Is that true? Every time you see a woman cook, you can't sit down and wonder, how did you prepare this? There is a pattern. There are many of you here who are wonderful people. You prepare good meals. There are many of you who drive, for instance. Look at the pattern of driving. Your car does not know your name. Your car does not know me. Yet two of us can sit down in the same car and it can obey us. Why? Because it is interested in compliance to patterns, not personality. Whether the driver is left-handed or right-handed, whether the driver is fair or dark, whether the driver is young or old, whether the driver is male or female, the car does not care. All the car is interested in is the mechanics of its movement. And if you engage it accordingly, it will obey you. The owner of the car can be frustrated by his own car if he does not understand the mechanics. That means, if you look at your life and you do not find any attribute of God's glory, it is a report card that you have not understood the pattern connected to that glory. Are we together now? Remember what we defined as glory? An expression of all the attributes of God. We'll take a few of them in the course of this conference. So, for instance, let's use power as a case study. There are sincere people who want to walk in the power of the Spirit. There are sincere people who want to walk in the reality of the anointing, kingdom authority. But they never seem to find that expression of God's glory. Why? Because there is a spiritual pattern that leads to the anointing. There are people who want to walk in influence, want to walk in wisdom. There are spiritual patterns. Listen, if you understand this, I would have brought predictability to your Christian experience. Your Christian experience will be an extraordinary effulgence and a revelation of the multifaceted dimensions of God's glory. The glory of God. Look at this. I'm holding a mic in my hand, and this mic is not connected to any wire. Is that true? Once upon a time in Earth's history, this was impossible. No one would believe you could hold this without it being connected to something. But there was still, while we were in confusion, there was still a possibility to hold this mic like this. We did not know it. In the mic's mind, it still believes it's connected to the wire. We were only able to find another system of achieving the same result. Are we together now? And now we have all kinds of mics. You have the lapels that you make out of them. And you do all sorts of things. Once upon a time, you would never hold a phone like this not connected. I mean, you remember in this nation that when it rains, you have to pay attention to start moving from street to street to look for where wind caught your wire and laboriously join it together. But with a single dial. Out of all of us here, I can dial pastor's number and it will not make a mistake and call you with digital precision. The power and the accuracy of patterns. Look at flights. They would start and tell you we're landing 11:10 on the dot with digital precision, regardless the weather, except for any other thing that happens outside of the initial plan. The plane will land with digital precision and touch the ground. Scientists can time the landing of a spaceship to Mars or any other planet with digital precision. They are here on Earth, but they know when it lands. Patterns. Spiritual patterns. Forerunners of the glory. That means every time you want to see the glory of God, you don't pray for glory. I'm going to be showing you now. The prayer for glory is a general prayer, but now when you come into the dynamics of manifesting glory, your prayer for glory is like praying for cooked food. You don't pray for cooked food. Cooked food is the resultant effect of having the ingredients and sustaining the intelligence to produce it. Imagine someone sits down and says, all I need to eat. It's true, you say, all I need to eat is fried rice. But the chef knows what you are talking about. His first assignment is to go to the market and piece together the ingredients. And with uncanny mastery, within an hour or two, they would produce something that reflects everything you wanted. And he can do it for as long as you need it. If you cook rice today, the rice will not refuse to cook tomorrow. No, it will cook for as long as you pass through the same process with it. You can cook rice now. It's based on this predictability that businesses are built. There's something in business called quality control. It's a system that maintains compliance to the principles. Is that true? You can ensure that Coca-Cola in Mina is the same Coca-Cola in Lagos, is the same Coca-Cola in Ibadan. And the workers in that company may never have an opportunity to see themselves. Their personalities are not necessary. It is only their compliance to patterns. Please pay attention. A doctor in Nigeria, in Mina, a consultant, say a surgeon, a consultant in Borno State, a consultant in Ghana, a consultant in London, a consultant in the US, can meet together for the first time and begin a surgery immediately. Nobody needs to vet anybody, provided you carry that signature of being a consultant. No one says, I need to check what you know. They can literally meet for the first time in the operating room. And with uncanny mastery, they will distribute functions for one another. And in hours, they have done something that people thought was not possible. Their personalities notwithstanding. A lecturer teaches in Futmina. He teaches something that another one is teaching in Lagos. Another one is teaching in another place. The lecturers do not know themselves, yet the outcome of the students become the same. Why? Because they are teaching patterns, not opinions. So you see that the design of earth was designed with a spiritual pattern. There are many patterns in scripture. I'll talk about a few of them. Number one, for instance, one of the first spiritual patterns that was created or was brought by God is called the law of territory. Please look up. Don't write, just listen. The law of territory means that you will never be comfortable in a territory until you are designed by the material of that ecosystem. That's why man was designed from the dust of the earth. The dust of the earth did not mean it was only dust that was used. It just means the elements compatible with his environment was what was used. Are you seeing that now? Yes. You can see that your hair is like the grass of the field. The same way you mow grass and it grows, you cut your hair and it grows again. There is a semblance. That means the environment should not fight you. If the ecosystem fights you, a spirit has hijacked the system to make it uncomfortable to you. You are made of earth, so the earth should not fight you. You don't sit down on the ground and become sick sitting down. There should be compatibility. Is that true? You drink water. I wish I had time. So I would have taught you the water you are drinking, you are not the first to drink. Water is the realm of the spirit's library system. It preserves spiritual information. The water you are drinking, millions of people have taken it before you. It's a cycle. Is it not in your Bible? You really believe that the water in this bottle, you are the first person to drink it? Does it make sense scientifically? No. No. Only God knows. This water you see is a witness. It has passed through many human bodies. Kings have taken what you are taking now. Evil men have taken what you have taken now. There are three witnesses. That's not what we're discussing. There are three witnesses in the earth. One of them, water. Let's get back to our discussion. We're discussing the glory. Are you learning now? There are spiritual patterns. Now, the nation of Israel were given many of these patterns. For instance, they were told that every time you go for war and it is clear that your enemies are going to defeat you, don't fight. Read your Bible. Don't use swords to fight. You will be defeated. Rather, drop your swords, take your instruments of worship, and begin to call upon the name of the Lord. There was a chant that they were given. If you begin to make that chant, it's a sign to the realm of the spirit that you are overwhelmed with your situation. You are good, and your mercies endure forever. It was not a song. It was a chant to declare that we need help. Every time they began to sing, you are good and your mercies endure forever, God will arise as a mighty warrior and will begin to move in a particular way. It was a pattern. They were given a pattern that every time you are going for war, make sure that the ark is before you. The ark was the symbol of victory. Is that true? That was why when they captured the ark, the nation of Israel cried and all of them lamented and said, "We are finished." What was in the ark? The security of God's presence. Spiritual patterns. There are people, for instance, who maybe because of sickness and infirmity, they are unable to eat. The authorized way of passing food into your body is the mouth. Is that true? If you have to use other mechanisms, they are just outsourced mechanisms because of a default. Is that true? Yes. Patterns. If I give you food now, you don't need to ask me, how am I going to get it into the body? There is a pattern and you are aware of it. Look how powerful the pattern is. A mother gives birth to a baby. And the baby who just came out few minutes ago, maybe few hours ago, you slap that child, he starts to cry, and then the mother takes the baby close to the breast, and what happens? The baby starts to suck with uncanny mastery, without rehearsals, because it was a pattern. Are we together? How about crying? Nobody lectures the baby on how to cry. No. The baby just begins to cry. So don't tell me, how do I pray in tongues? How did you learn to cry? How did you learn to laugh? There are things that the Holy Ghost can produce in people. Patterns. Now watch this. There are different dimensions and expressions of God's glory. For instance, speed is a manifestation of God's glory. It's an attribute that makes God God. But there is a spiritual pattern connected to speed. Just being aware that in God or in Christ there is a possibility for speed does not mean you will walk in the revelation of it. Can I be honest with you? It is very frustrating to know what should be and yet you cannot manifest it. It's even better to be ignorant of that possibility. So I know that in God's economy he can lift men, but what is the dynamics of that lifting? I can remain defeated and yet very knowledgeable about the fact that God is able to lift men. How about healing? If I ask you right now, for instance, if I tell you, do you believe that Jesus is a healer? What would your answer be? Yes. Even those who are not serious spiritually, even non-Christians believe that there can be a supernatural intervention. But the question is, make it happen now in experience. Many of us may not be able to make that happen. How about the blessings of the Lord upon the life of an individual? Every believer, we sing songs week in, week out. The blessings of Abraham are mine. I am blessed, highly favored, and so on and so forth. It is true because scripture says so. But to now walk in the experience of that glory. So my assignment is to introduce you to the forerunners of God's glory. Spiritual patterns. You don't need to worry so much about the dimension of glory you seek to be revealed. All you need to focus on, there are only effects. What you need to focus on is the spiritual pattern. If you fulfill the pattern that makes for speed, you will have speed. You fulfill the pattern that makes for influence, you will have influence. You fulfill the pattern that makes for church growth, you will have church growth. You fulfill the pattern that makes for illumination and understanding, you will have it. Now, in 1 minute, I want to challenge you. Have we been blessed so far? Just meditate for 1 minute. Look at your life and look at the gaps as far as the manifestation of God's glory is concerned in your life. Those gaps are report cards to you. Don't fight them. They are report cards. Man of God, you are very anointed, but why is there a stunt in church growth? The issue may not just be demonic. It may be that there is a pattern allocated for that manifestation of glory. Why is finances a very difficult thing for you? Is it such a difficult thing? Did the Bible not say that it is God's desire to bless us? Why are you afraid of death? Oh, apostle, people are dying. People who love God and those who don't love God. But do you not find security? You see, patterns don't just give you results. They give you security. If you have results without the dynamics on how they came, you will be afraid of your results. Meditate on your life. Why is it that I am not favored? The Bible lets us know that a man can be favored of God. But what is the limitation? Why am I not seeing this in my life? The same people who favor others are within my horizon. What is making them not to come to me? What is stopping influence and visibility in my life? I love the Lord. He's given me a message in ministry, in business, in politics. Why does a territory hate or ignore hearing me? Why do they ignore the investment of the Spirit upon my life? It's a report card. There is a pattern you might be violating. Listen, this is the reason why we receive with meekness in this kingdom the engrafted word. You can argue away and explain away and say it's because of this. It's because I'm not from this region. That may be the obvious truth, but not the right one. Moses said, there is a pattern that gives visibility and consistent victory. The ability to capture your Shekinah. Do not let us depart from here, he said. We have swords. We have military intelligence. We have numbers. But all these things are futile in the face of our enemies. We know the pattern that makes for victory. Therefore, do not let us depart from here if your presence will not go with us. There is something your presence does. There is a distinguishing effect that your presence brings upon the life of an individual that swords and bows and arrows cannot bring. When I learned this, I rejoiced over my Christian experience, because I said, that means that every time I do not see the manifestation of the glory of God in my life, my first prayer is not, God, show up in that dimension. My first prayer is, let there be light. Let there be light, O God. Spiritual illumination that brings me understanding. Now look at that scripture. Leviticus chapter 9 and verse 6. You will understand it better now. We are dealing with patterns, the forerunners of God's glory. Read it again. Now with a better understanding. Ready? Please read. And Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commanded that ye do, and the glory of the Lord shall appear unto you. Exodus chapter 25. Please give us verse 9. Exodus chapter 25. Verse 9. Please everybody read. This was the construction of the tabernacle in the wilderness. They wanted to be able to capture the presence of God. And he said, if you want to simulate my habitation, then you have to follow my patterns. Are you ready to read? One, to read. According to all that I showed thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments, therefore shall ye make it. That means, do not use your invention and your creativity. You would disorganize the pattern. You may have a building, but you will not have my habitation. If it is my presence you want to capture, there must be an exact pattern. Moses was meticulously taken to the mountain for 90 days and he was shown the pattern of the tabernacle in heaven. And he said, reproduce it exactly so that when I'm resting upon your tabernacle, I would not know the difference whether I'm in heaven or I'm with you, because you have simulated the pattern. Are we together? Verse 40 of the same Exodus chapter 25. Verse 40, please. Verse 40. One to read. And look that thou make them after their pattern which was shown thee on the mount. Again, God is coming to warn them. Make sure you do not violate this. Exodus chapter 40 and verse 33. Exodus chapter 40 and verse 33. Watch this. Do you know that the glory of God never showed up while the construction was going on? He kept supervising until Moses finished. Please read with me, everybody. We're reading 33 and then 34. Please go on. Please take it high for me, Elijah. I hope you can see me. All right, please. Verse 33, one to read. And he reared up the court round about the tabernacle of the altar. And set up the hanging of the court gate. Please read the last sentence as loud as you can. One to read. One more time. The last time now. So Moses, he finished the work according to pattern. Next verse. Then a cloud covered the tent of congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Next verse. And Moses was not able to enter the tent of congregation. Why? Because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord. You see that his patterns forerun his glory. Moses, it is my glory that you want to see captured in this tabernacle of congregation, this tent. Then follow my patterns. Until Moses followed to the latter and hit the last peg. Then, consuming fire, sweet perfume, his awesome presence fills this room. Consuming fire, sweet perfume, his awesome presence fills my life. Consuming fire, sweet perfume, his awesome presence will fill your church. That Shekinah will never come until his patterns are kept. It is the glory of the Lord you want to see manifesting as wisdom, power, grace, wealth, influence, access, speed, dominion. All these dimensions of God's glory are yours for the taking. But there is a pattern. Exodus chapter 33 will soon be praying. Is God helping anybody this morning? This afternoon now. Exodus chapter 33. Now, we'll start from verse 10 for the sake of time. We'll just read 10 or 13 verses. This was Moses about to have an encounter with the glory of the Lord. Please follow the discourse closely. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and worshipped, every man in his tent door. Please follow carefully. Next verse. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, my goodness, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said to the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up these people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou sayest, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Hallelujah. Read this verse carefully. Verse 13. And never forget this verse for the rest of your life. Are we together now? One, two, read. Now therefore, I pray thee, If I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way. Please stop. Most of us know that Moses said, show me your glory. But the first thing Moses asked for is, show me your patterns. Not just your glory. Show me your way. I want to know you, but I want to know your way. There are many victories I need to bring in honor to your name, but I need the patterns that are responsible for this victory. Show me your way. Next verse. And he said, my presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. This is the pattern you need for rest. My presence, if it is rest you are looking for, my presence is the pattern that is tied to your Sabbath. You want rest? Do all that is within your power to capture my presence. And he said, if thy presence go not with us, he says, carry us not from hence. That means I prefer to be called one who is in delay. I will honorably take that name that I'm suffering from delay if I am not sure of your presence. Because I know that without your presence, what I call speed will only be me running only to return back to the same position. So instead of wasting my energy, I rather remain there until your presence comes to guide me. 16. We're reading to 23. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So we shall be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. 17. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he now said, now that you have shown me your patterns, show me your glory. Are you seeing the sequence of the request? Most of us say, Lord, show me your glory. You are right, but you are incomplete. The real and first prayer is to seek for that which forerunns the glory. Reveal unto me your patterns. Don't just say, God, give me church growth. Don't just say, God, give me increase. Don't just say, God, give me money. Don't just say, God, give me power. Those things are manifestations of the glory. What you need is an understanding of the patterns that control those results. Show me your glory. 19, it says, I will make my goodness. Notice, the goodness of God is one aspect of his glory. I will make my goodness pass before you. I will proclaim my name, the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. 22. And it shall come to pass that while my glory passeth, look at this, that I will put thee in a cliff of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Last verse. And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. If you know what happened to Moses, you will really, really, really celebrate what happened to the disciples. Because the glory that was on the face of God was what was manifested as Jesus. The very part that Moses could not see, God, who had commanded light to shine out of darkness, the Bible says, has shined in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God as seen on the face of Jesus. Are we together? And so we know that patterns forerun the glory of God. Every aspect of your spiritual life, every aspect of your financial life, every aspect of your business ministry that is in need of a visible manifestation of God's glory is only in that need because there is a pattern a spiritual pattern that you have not found. Jeremiah 6:16.
I'm under the shadow of your wings. Your influence is all over me. I'm under the shadow of your wings. Your influence is all over me.
Thus saith the Lord, Mina, stand ye in the ways. It says, and see, and then ask questions. Ask for the old paths. Wherein is a good way? When you find it, he says, walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. But there is a generation that will say, we will not walk therein. And yet we want the glory. We want prosperity, but we are not interested in the patterns. We want exploits in ministry, but we are not interested in the patterns. Can I tell you this? Every Sunday when your pastor stands and opens this scripture to teach you, among the many things that he seeks to achieve in your life is to expose you to the various spiritual patterns that are connected to the dimensions of glory that you need in your life. That means when you become a faithful disciple, not a follower, and more than a member. Followers are fans, members are people who just identify with the work. You need to be a disciple. You need to be ready to submit yourself, to be mentored, to be taught the ways of the Lord. Very methodical teaching of doctrine. They are a communication of spiritual patterns. So whilst you get born again, a believer can sit down and you begin to now teach the patterns that control prevailing prayer. You begin to teach the patterns that control favor and prosperity. You teach the patterns that control wealth and increase. You teach the patterns that make for character. You teach the patterns that make for spiritual power. It means after 1, 2, 3 years, under a methodical spiritual system of mentorship, I should know your progress by the manifestation of the glory that I see in your life. Watch this. It was the ignoring of patterns that exposed the nakedness of Adam. That means every time you hear the word, that nakedness should start being covered. Gradually. Gradually. Until you now stand full of the glory. No more shame, no more reproach. Why? Because the glory has now been restored to cover that nakedness. This is why we go to church. This is why we organize conferences. This is why your pastor has so labored alongside the body of Christ within this city to put a meeting like this. What is he looking for and what does he really seek? I will tell you. He seeks that through the communication of truth, through the power of words, doctrine, the communication of spiritual patterns that you will hold in your hands. This is why I told you it's a total waste of time if at the end of a conference you cannot hold on to truth that is life applicable immediately. So if at the end of this meeting they ask you, why were you here and what did you get? I say, well, it was just a wonderful thing. I've always loved Apostle. I love Pastor Pete. It was such a nice meeting. No. That is a complete waste of your time. What did you get? You should be able to sit down while you are looking at me now and start rejoicing in advance, because you know that you will never be the same. She sang it when I was coming in. It's not just about prophecy and miracles. Those will come. See, a doctor's ultimate desire is not to treat a patient, it's to have the patient healthy. The treatment is a midwife. That whilst you are transiting to the realm of health, you will need that ministry of the doctor. Your health is also rest for the doctor. that someone can find a spiritual pattern that controls excel dominion, territorial dominion, through prayer, for instance. That someone can find and connect the spiritual patterns that make for favor. And by the end of this conference, you return with testimonies and you say, Pastor Pete, I do not know what is beginning to happen in my life. In 12 hours, something has happened in my life that did not happen in 10 years. And God will tell you, it was always supposed to be your miracle. You know, let me tell you this. The day you understand this thing becomes your today. The Bible says today, if you hear his voice, that today has no date. The today is the day that you hear his voice. It says, harden not your heart. There remaineth a rest for the people of God. If you hear what I've told you and you don't pay attention to it, God is patient to repeat it next year with you. While you mark time at the same level, patiently waiting until next year. The only trouble is that the unit of destiny is time. And you may not always have the time. Let's wrap up with Psalm 63. Oh God, thou art my God. It says, early will I seek you. My soul thirsted for you. My flesh longed for you in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. What am I seeking? Verse 2, let's read together, Mina. To see your power and your glory in my life as I have seen in the sanctuary. Meaning, Lord, I'm tired of only seeing this glory when I come to church. Must I wait until Sunday to see that your power can move? Must I wait until Sunday to see the manifestation of the Spirit of Revelation? I want to capture what I saw in church to now become a reality in my life. Oh God, you are my God. I seek you. Show me the patterns. What happens when we come to church that makes the atmosphere so different? What happens when I listen to my pastor as he teaches the word? Why am I so blessed and edified, and then I go back and I open my Bible and it's as though I do not know you? I desire a transportation of those patterns to my home so that my home can now become like that church. What is it about heaven that makes heaven heaven? You are able to transport it. Jesus was teaching in what we have come to call the Lord's Prayer. And he said, when you pray, use this pattern. Remember, the disciples, the discourse on prayer was not about prayerlessness. It was about ineffective prayer. Because the disciples noticed that their prayer did not birth any glory. They knew that prayer was a pattern for something. But they prayed and prayed and prayed and nothing happened. But they noticed every time Jesus prayed, there seemed to be a manifestation. And they came to him, according to Luke's account. They said, teach us to pray. That means we need a lecture on prayer. You don't learn how to pray just by praying. You are taught to pray. He says, teach us to pray. Even as John taught his disciples. And Jesus said, I know what you are asking for. And then, here's how he taught them. A pattern and a formula. He says, when you stand to pray, when you read Matthew's account, he began to talk about hypocrisy and eye service. That was the first thing he corrected. He began to discuss the attitude of prayer. That when you pray, do not stand before men. Don't be like these nasty guys. They are just standing so that they will be seen. They have their reward already. What is their reward? The false perception and the accolades that follow that falsehood. That's their reward. He says, but when you get in, you want to pray, get into a room. It didn't mean it literally. It means that you should be in a position where there is absolute focus and concentration. Lock yourself in a room and pray. He says, and your Father that sees you will bless you openly. God doesn't bless people secretly. Now, he now says, when you pray, verse 7, he says, after this manner, when he spoke about chanting using vain repetitions, he says it is not in the volume. He's not talking about lack of frequency and pressing prayer. That's not what he's talking about. Now he's saying, when you pray, don't use all these vain repetitions. Do you know what vain repetitions were? When you study in many religions of the world, they use it today, like chants. They keep chanting and chanting. He's not saying don't pray frequently. No, that's not what he's saying. Those chants, God is not an idol, he's saying. But then he now begins to teach us how to pray. And he says, after this manner, he's not saying recite this. He's saying, I'm about to construct a pattern for prayer. When you pray, this should be your understanding. Number one, our Father. That means when you are praying, come to God as your source. Don't come to God as plan B. You will already, your prayer is aborted. When you come to God, the word our Father is from the word Abba. Abba means source, sustainer, defender. So when you come to God, you must not just come to Him as the God of the Bible. He's not just saying call Him Father. Have a mentality that the one you are coming to is the source of all things. Then He says, which art in heaven. That means you will require faith to connect with Him, because He's not domiciled within your domain. You will need to learn faith, the connection between these, to create a system that connects both realms. Then He says, when you come, hallowed be your name. That means you reverence Him. Come with an understanding, the spirit of reverence. Hallowed be your name was an ancient formula to preserve all the dimensions of God that were revealed in the Old Testament. Every time they saw a manifestation of God's glory, they preserved it in a name. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Sikenu. That was their way of hallowing His name. And then He says, when you pray, your priority should be that His governing influence comes. Because many of the requests you have are only there because His kingdom has not come. So you will pray them later on, but your focus should be that His kingdom comes. Because if His kingdom comes, you will not need many of those other things you are asking again. For instance, you are trying to invite the commissioner. You are trying to invite the head of water board. He says, I want to teach you how to get all of them. If you can invite the governor of the state in his office as a governor, they will be compelled to come with him. So for now, we will honor your request for commissioner and the rest. But the more excellent way is focus on the governor. Because if the governor comes in his capacity as a governor, he will not come alone. This is what Jesus is teaching. Are we learning now? Yes. And then he says, the way your kingdom comes is that your will is done in earth as it is in heaven. Then he now begins to speak, give us this day and so on and so forth. This is a pattern, for instance. When you follow this pattern, look at me. Do you know from the day he taught the disciples, they never had a problem with prayer again. There is no record of the disciples now becoming apostles having a problem with the prayer, because they understood the lecture. And when they found the pattern, that was it. To the point where shadows, the shadow of Peter, my goodness, my God. These men did exploits. They knew how to call upon the God of heaven. There was a pattern that Elijah understood. We'll discuss that in the evening. When it was time for Elijah to bring down fire, he called the prophets of Baal. Remember? And he said, guys, you have your God and you have the way you call him. I give you the right of way. You go ahead and do all you know to do. And the Bible records that at Mount Carmel, they began to call. They said, oh Baal, please hear us. They started from morning up until afternoon up. And Elijah was even mocking them and saying, maybe your God is asleep or he went somewhere. Why don't you call him? They called and called and called, and they began to lacerate and cut themselves. The Bible says, when it was the time of the evening sacrifice, Elijah said, I've given you enough time. Get out of the way. You thought Elijah was just a God, you can come. It is glory. Patterns precede glory. He says, the first pattern, rebuild the altar that was broken. If you want to see the glory of God, rebuild that altar that was broken. Number two, let there be a sacrifice on it. Number three, there must be the ministry of the word. Pour water lavishly on it. There must be the ministry of the word. God will always come in honor to his word. It is the word that becomes flesh and manifests among us. And then we behold the glory, even as the glory of the begotten. So pour water. Again, let there be a lavish manifestation of the word. When all that was in place, he now lifted his head to heaven and said, God, the patterns that make for you to come as a consuming fire is put in place. The Bible says fire came immediately. Elijah commanded fire more than once to tell you it was not a mistake. Can I be honest with you? I pray that you have the faith to believe. if a man today on earth finds the pattern that Elijah used, he will open the heavens and that result will come. It's only that we have not seen the versatility of the move of God that way in our generation. So we are not even going to agree. The manna that came from heaven can still come when the patterns are kept. Listen, if you don't believe what I just said, you are not a Christian, because the Bible says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Second scripture, it says the things that are written aforetime, they are for our learning, so that we, through the comfort of scripture, might find hope. What hope? Hope that we've not lost that dimension of God, that it can happen again. Was it not because we saw the sick healed in the Bible that is happening today? The dimension we believed is the one that we are seeing today. We studied the patterns that our faith could receive. The ones that are more superior were not ready for the controversy that follows them, and so we left them quietly. And God honored us too, quietly.
But there's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Listen, in the church today, the body of Christ, as we know, we have celebrated people for achieving magnificent spiritual feats. Things that we did not know were possible. Is that true? Notice that every time somebody does something on earth, it no longer becomes a wonder. The first person to go to Mount Everest. Do you know how many people have gone to Mount Everest today? Once upon a time, there was the 100 meter dash. They didn't believe that they could cross beyond a particular world record. Right now, all kinds of people have done it. That means the potential was always there. It's just that there must always be a pace setter. There must always be a trailblazer. There has to be someone who introduces or reintroduces a dimension to creation again. We study God's generals. Why? They were not the first to do the things that they did. But they began to study this and they found out that there was something our generation was missing. They looked controversial, but they stayed with God. And they were able to capture these superior dimensions of His presence. And now we celebrate them. Can I tell you this? The times that we live in, as we begin to build up momentum for the coming of Christ, I assure you that there will be spectacular manifestations of the multifaceted dimensions of God's glory on earth. There are men who will do things upon this earth that will marvel principalities and powers, not just spiritually and in ministry, economically. You are going to see people rise and do things that defy everything you have known. You are going to see people do things politically. You are going to see people do things. There are all kinds of things. Once upon a time, first class used to be like a privilege. Now you go to the schools and see. You can have more than 120 people having first class. Because someone modeled it and made it look so easy and cheap. And people embrace that mindset that it is easy. Once upon a time, flying a plane looked like a privilege to people. Right now, individuals can get up and decide that in 2 years, I want to learn how to fly it. I can drive a car. What is so special about flying a plane? Because you go on internet, there are all kinds of models to help you. And so it made it easy. The assignment of a pace setter is to demystify a concept. He goes through the laborious price of learning the patterns. And he tells people, I found a way. Listen, this is the assignment of a man of God. So you come to Mina and show what is possible. And then you can say, body of Christ, it is not just to make a name. It is a pace. Now you begin to do it. That who says there cannot be increase to the church in this city? That who says there cannot be signs and wonders across every altar? It's not just for the Benny Hines. It's not just for the Robert Leardens. Who said your stadium cannot be full of people calling upon the name of the Lord? Listen, every time God wants to reveal His glory, He finds a man who can believe in Him enough to capture that dimension of His glory. He sends a word to Jacob. Whoever said it takes 10 or 20 years to be able to prosper in the kingdom. This is not some get rich quick thing. There is speed in the economy of God, because time is the unit of destiny. If you invest 20 years of your life trying to look for money, what is left now? You got born again at 50. Add 20 years to be prosperous. You are almost on your way going. You can't do much for the kingdom. So God says, I want to introduce you to an economy. An economy that is higher and more superior to this economy. Not from some carnal, mundane, childish. No. There is something I can do. God will now begin to teach you that I can give you seed and cause your soil to produce. But there are times the emergency needs bread directly. So I will send bread to eat first, then you can plant later on. Because seed will require time for it to become a harvest and now process it into bread. I can give both bread to the sower and seed to the eater. If your faith connects to only seed, you will keep having seeds. But someone will come and say, God, but you said you give both seed and bread. I have received seed for 10 years. Can I have bread now? And in 2 days, someone will give him a house. Someone will give him a car. Someone will give him land. And you say, this is not fair. And God says, that dimension of my glory was always for the taking. You just did not understand the pattern. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. Asking is not for men of God. Asking is for whoso will. Are we ready to pray? Please rise up on your feet. We will rise in your name, Adonai. You reign on high. We will rise in your name, Adonai. I will rise in your name, Adonai. You reign on high. Prophesy to yourself that I will rise beyond this realm in your name, Adonai. You reign. One more time, Mina. About to pray. Can I tell you this? The issues of your destiny will require the manifestation of God's divine patterns if you are to have this kind of result. In the world that we live in today, if you cannot engage divine patterns, you will never experience church growth. I tell you sincerely by God. It's not about being sincere or insincere. No. It is divine patterns. If you do not understand God's divine patterns, you may never have the honor and the opportunity to be able to hold on to the blessing of the Lord in terms of your finances. You may probably live a beggarly life. Do you know how much a block is? Do you know how much a plot of land is in this city? You try saving to get it and see how many years will come before you get it. We are not even talking of building the house for God. You will need to subscribe to a superior pattern that produces God's dimension of results. I made up my mind that I will learn the patterns of the kingdom. I will learn them so diligently. I will learn them with confidence. It takes time to know them. Let me advise you, it will not be overnight. It takes time. There is a labor dimension to understanding. You will have to stay until you find it. But if and when you find it, the Bible says they are life to those who find them. Some of you need to go back like spiritual archaeologists. God has given you a healing ministry, but that name continues to be a mockery in your life because nobody is healed under your ministry, and yet you genuinely have that call. Why don't you go and settle down and learn the patterns that cause the Holy Spirit to manifest in your life so mightily as a healer? Some of you are called into politics and governance. It will not just be by having Godfathers and knowing them. Listen, you need to know that there is a pattern that makes for leadership territorially. Let me give you an instance. Every time you see governance in our sociology, it has always been the tripartite formation of king, priest, prophet. No king stands alone. You ignore that pattern, you've already lost. Economically speaking, there are patterns. Listen, we are going to pray. Your prayer will be from the depth of your heart. This is a conference. Don't loiter around. Don't look around. Don't let Satan cheat you. Some of you, what you are hearing now is what your loved ones will eat from. There are generations that are waiting on the strength of what you are learning. I'd like you to open your mouth and pray in 1 minute, thanking the Lord for this revelation, that you want to see all of these dimensions of God's glory in your life. Show me your ways. Prayer point number one. Show me your patterns, O God of heaven. Show me your patterns, O God of heaven. Show me your patterns in the name of Jesus, the Son of the living God. Men, are you praying? He brought us to build us. He brought us to empower us. He brought us to open our eyes to see the riches of His glory. I open up my heart. I become a seeker of your face and a seeker of your ways. Show me your patterns in the name of Jesus, the Son of the living God. I subscribe to supernatural patterns, forerunners of the glory, forerunners of the glory, forerunners of the glory, that the beauty and the glory of God will rise upon my life, rise upon ministry, rise upon business. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now, just one last prayer point and we're done for this session. I want you to pray. And I want you to sincerely mention every aspect in your life or of your life where you have not seen the glory of God. And ask the Lord that in the course of this conference, may He bring to you the pattern that controls that dimension of glory. Mention it. Don't keep quiet. Mention it. Open your mouth. Lord, I'm tired of financial struggles. My finances is not reflecting your glory. My home, my marriage is not reflecting your glory. My children, my spiritual life, I am yet to access this dimension of your glory. Therefore, I pray that in the course of this conference, bring to me, O God, by the Spirit of Revelation, the divine patterns that control the spiritual outcome. Are you praying? Open my eyes, let me behold wondrous things from out of your law. Open my eyes to see. Grant me the grace that sees. The spirit of grace, the spirit of illumination. Unashamedly mention the aspects of your life where you have not seen the manifestation of the glory of the Lord. And on the strength of what you have heard in this session, lift your voice and pray. Father, in the course of this conference, let heavens be open once and for all over my life, my destiny, my ministry. In the course of this conference, let the heavens be open. In the name of Jesus, the Christ of God, let the heavens be open. Reveal to me by your word. Appear unto me like you did in Shiloh. By your word, show me the spiritual patterns that are responsible for the manifestation of the glory of God in my life.